Good morning.
Good morning.
Be here with y'all today. Let's pray and then read our Bibles. God, we thank you. You are good. You are kind and loving. Thank you for these moments that we can come together and open your word and read together and together experience what you promise that is your word, which is it's living and powerful. You cut inside us as we read it. And so, God, I pray that this morning as we read that you would do that, that you would draw us to you. You'd help us know and love you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we've been reading through the Psalms, and you can flip there if you want to. We'll be there back there today. So this is a book that, and I might have mentioned this at the beginning, probably did. It's been a while. It's a book that some have called the hymn book or the hymnal of Israel. God's people would sing the words that we read as words, as text. They would actually sing them to God. So this was as if it was their psalm book. And so it shouldn't surprise us as we read the Psalms to find outpourings of thankfulness. If they're worship songs directed to God, it would just like, it wasn't planned, wasn't scripted. The last song that we sang, many times our worship songs are thankfulness directed to God. We're saying thank you to God in song. So look at Psalm, for example, 92. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Or jump back to Psalm 75. Verse 1, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. He's saying we should give thanks to God. Because he's close to us for who he is and his relationship with them or with us. Look at verse 2. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. I say to the boastful, do not boast. To the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high or speak with haughty neck. For it is not from the east or from the west, not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one, lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it. And all the dregs of the earth shall drain it down to, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to its dregs. We should worship God for who he is, for what he has done. He said, I will count your works. He controls everything. We should thank God because he is a sovereign king of the universe, and he governs and he reigns over all. And at the end, he says in verse 9, but I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. He starts by saying, I'm going to give thanks. And he ends by saying, I'm going to sing praise to God, again, because singing is a way that we thank God. It's a way of expressing our gratitude. So the Psalms are full. And I think we've read that phrase as we've gone through the Psalms now many, many times. The phrase, I will give thanks, let us give thanks. It is good to give thanks to God. So today, let's stop for a minute and talk about that, about giving thanks to God, being grateful to God. And I think this is good for us to do because it's my suspicion, and this might be me just projecting myself on all of us, but it's my suspicion that we don't do this naturally, that it's not something that we think about. We don't think about being thankful. We think we are thankful because when we pray, what do we say? Thank you for all of your blessings. Thank you for everything you've given us, because that covers it all. And then you know, we've said thank you for everything. We pray before we eat, maybe. We think we're thankful, but I don't think that we go through life constantly thanking God for specific things that he's done just over and over and over again as part of our day. I don't think, maybe that's what you do, but I don't think that is what we generally do. We just don't always have that in our minds. We're always thinking about what we want to do and what we would like to have happen. But I don't think we think about just stopping and constantly being thankful to God in every moment for that moment and what he's given us now. And that we think about what we don't like in any particular moment. I have clear in my mind at any given time what I'm not happy with, what's stressing me out, what I'm worried about right now, or what's coming down the pipe. I'm clear about that. So when I open my mouth to speak, a lot of times what comes out is what? It's complaining. It's worrisome. It's what's going to happen. We're fixated on what we desire in the future, what the next thing, the better thing. And so when we pray, what flows out of us is, please do this. We ask for things, as we should. But I think it's hard for us to be full of thankfulness and constantly express it. So what we learn in the Psalms from David's example is this. It's God's children should always thank their father, should always be thankful, should always be expressing gratefulness to their creator, to their God. Let's look at some more examples. Look at Psalm 9. Psalm 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I read that, and the first thing that hits me is being thankful is emotional. There's emotion tied to being thankfulness. I'll exalt. That's an emotion. I'll be glad. I will give thanks to the Lord with what? My whole heart. The heart is a center of emotion. It's being thankful is an emotional thing, partially because when we give thanks, we're expressing emotion. And also, when we give thanks, that provokes emotion in us. That causes emotion to rise up in our hearts when we are truly thankful. When we're giving thanks, it makes us feel joy and happiness. As he expresses there, it is powerful to be thankful to God, because it's not just the power of thinking positively. When we give thanks to God for what he has and will do, that gives glory to God. That is one of the clearest paths from me to God being glorified, to me glorifying God, because I'm recognizing, whether I'm saying it out loud or thinking it in my mind as I'm driving my car, I'm recognizing what he does, and I'm worshiping him. Thank you for that. You did that. You're the one who put that in my life. You made that happen. You put the sky up. You made me get to where I'm going. You did that. It's giving glory to God. It's worshiping him for what he does. And that causes joy to rise up in our hearts as we see the sovereign activity of God in our lives. Not just see it, but we recognize it because we're giving thanks for it explicitly. That fills us with peace and contentment and joy. The second thing I see in this psalm, we saw it in the first one we read, I believe, the first or the second one, but the same phrase or something very close to it. Look at verse 1. He answers the question, how do we give thanks? I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. How do you do it? By describing what God has done, by saying what God has done. Look at verse 3. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence, for you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished, but the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. He ends it as he starts. Give thanks to the Lord. Tell what he's done. Ends it. Sing praises. Tell the people his deeds. How are we to thank God? By naming who God is, by describing what God is, what he is like, what his characteristics are, and what he has done. Sing that out, say that out, express what God has done. We see another example of that in Psalm 18. And this is a 50-verse psalm. We will not read all 50 verses, but they're all good. So, you know, family devotion note, this would be a good one. Psalm 18, look at verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. So he's not starting out with thankfulness. We'll see how he gets there, but doesn't start out with that, so maybe this is a misdirect. Maybe this isn't a good one for us. It is. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. He loves God. He's his rock. He's his rescuer. He's in deep problems. And he calls out to God. And then he spends the next 42 verses, if my math is correct, recounting what God has done, and then jump to the very end. This is why 42. We're going to read the last two. Verse 49. After he spends 42 verses just saying, you did this, and 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 you 42 times. Well, however many times. For this I will praise you, O God, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. He ends by praising, thanking God. Everything that came before that was an outpouring of thanksgiving to God. He's naming what God has done and so that he can worship him for it. Thanking God is responding to God for what he has done. It's remembering, and then it's saying, it's saying out loud, it's singing what he's done. It's saying the words, God did this, thank you. And I think from this, I know from this, from everything we've seen, but especially from Psalm 18, we can learn that thanking God is saying specific things. It's not just saying, thank you for everything. Thank you for all the blessings. That's good. It's good to thank God generally. But David shows us that thanking God is thanking him for specific things that he's done, that he's given us. It's thank you for the sun today. And thank you for the rain last night. I was asleep. Did it rain? It didn't, did it? It rained one of the nights this week. So, okay. Thank you for the rain that other night. Thank you for the sleep that you gave me and the cornflakes in my bowl and for the job that I'm driving to and the car that I get to go in and the gas that I put in it yesterday and that I'm going to bite my tongue and not resist the temptation to complain about the price of that gas. But thank you for the money that I had in my account that I could pay for that gas. Thank specific things. That's how David thanked God. That's how we should thank God as well. That's what it means to be thankful, saying specific things that he's done and say, thank you for that. So it's one of those sermons where we get to the end and you say, you know, I say my application introduction line, what should we do? Well, it's kind of obvious, right? We've been saying that. We've been saying what we should do. This has been a sermon of application. If you're not a Christian, listen, the reality is you have not received the great multitude of blessings that God promises his children. And when you make your decision to surrender to Jesus, to repent and be baptized, in that moment, you receive the wealth of blessing that God gives his children. You will have a father who loves and guards you, who always is taking care of you, both now and for all of eternity. And then your thanksgiving to God, when you bow your head and say, thank you, when you're driving and you say, thank you, and I didn't get in a car wreck, and I'm going to work, and all these things you've given me, thank you. That will be thankfulness from a beloved child that has received everything from his father. So when you say, I want that, I want to be God's child, to be blessed in him as his child, so I can be thankful to my father who's given me everything, tell one of us, you can repent, you can be baptized. And for those of us who are Christians, what should we do? We should be thankful that there's always something to be thankful for. And if today you say, my life is not good, there's not, I know, but also there is something to be thankful for in every moment. We can always find something. I was trying this week even in the moments when it was not phenomenal, and I was thinking, I wonder, how do you be thankful in this moment? And I started being thankful. There's always something to be thankful for. There is always blessing that God has put in our lives. I know the Count Your Many Blessings song is in my head right now, too, as I'm saying these words. So we have been blessed so much by our Father. We know Him. He's God. He's our God. He's our Father. We have His Word. We have His Spirit. We have so many earthly blessings, and we have all of His eternal promises that are ours in Christ. We have so much to be thankful for in every moment. So what should we do? We should be thankful. We should thank God. This is not a message that you might hear somewhere else on you know, YouTube, somewhere that's not God related, that, you know, we should be thankful people. This is not just a generalized be a thankful person message. This is a specific thankfulness. This is, we should be thankful particularly. We should be thankful in all things to everyone, but we should particularly be thankful to God, because God is the one who does everything. He is sovereign. He deserves our eternal thankfulness. So we should be thankful to God. We should be thankful for specific things. Remember, not just for everything. We should say specific things when we're thankful, and we should continually be thankful. It's not come once a week and let's be thankful together. We should. And also, through the rest of the week, we should continually be saying thank you to God. Look at a couple more verses with me. Go to Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. All times. That's why we're reading this one. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, also while we're reading this one, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together at all times and continually. I added that last on at the end, but I took it from the first verse, so it counts. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We should be thankful all the time, in every moment. We should always be giving thanks. That's one of those instructions in Thessalonians. It's kind of difficult. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. I'll always be giving thanks. I'll never stop praying. How do I do that and live life? I know it's a conundrum, but you know, if we're always giving thanks, we are always praying continually. So they help to, you know, we fulfill them together. We should always be giving thanks in good and bad moments, because everything comes from the hand of our Father, and He works everything to our good, to the good of those who love Him. That's also a verse. Romans 8:26 is what I wrote down. I think that's right. I think we need something to help us remember to be thankful. Maybe you're less forgetful than I am, but I read things like this, always give thanks. When I read them, I'm like, yes, absolutely, I want to do that. That will be what I do. And then I realize the next time I read one of these passages, I've forgotten to do that. I need help remembering as I go through my normal life, not just when I'm at the end of the day and I'm about to go to sleep and I'll be thankful for today, or I come together on Sundays and I worship and I'm thankful then. I need help remembering. So I was thinking this week, how do I do that? What can I say that would be helpful for you to remember, like a trigger that might help you, but also for me, what's the thing that makes me remember that should make me remember, that could make me remember to be thankful? And for me, this might not be helpful for you, but for me, it clicked last night, because I was in a stressful moment. I was thinking about stuff I had to do, and that always stresses me out. It was a stressful moment. I was just kind of in my head, just, you know, churning away. And, I was like, oh, that's it. It's when I feel like this. When I'm stressed out, when I'm anxious, when I'm worried, when I'm a little bit negative, when I start to feel a little complainy. You ever feel complainy? When I feel like that, that needs to be my trigger. That, and I know I've said this about other things too, so that's a trigger for a whole bunch of things. But for now, for this, today, this week, for us, we could let that be the thing that makes us go, oh yeah, I should be thankful in this moment. I feel the opposite of thankful right now. So maybe that trips me over into being thankful. It reminds me. And what I found as I started doing that, I was like, oh, that actually reverses the stuff I'm feeling. Best way to not be stressed out, at least for me and the little bit that I've been trying this, is to just start thanking God for things. Even some of the things related to the stuff I'm stressed about. I'm kind of stressed about the work I have to do. You gave me work to do, and I like doing it. Thank you. If that sounds Pollyanna-ish, and I don't mean to use a really old reference, it's true, and it works. So let our negative, non-thankful emotions be the thing that wake us up and say, that's kind of sinful the way I'm feeling. I'll just start thanking God for stuff. And I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to think about that in emotion anymore. I'm just going to start thanking God and see what he does in our heart as we do that. And now we have an incredible privilege together to thank God for his greatest blessing, the thing that he gave us. And it wasn't a thing. It was a person. It was his son on the cross when he sent his son to earth to live as a man and then die in our place and take upon himself the punishment that we deserve. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read together before we take the bread and the cup. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved. So this is the power of God for salvation. This is the gospel. It's what the gospel is. It's what he's going to proclaim to them and to you and I. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And then after Paul proclaims the gospel there, and then he continues for the rest of the chapter with showing what the gospel means for you and I as we face death, as we face our mortality, the promise of eternal life that God has for us, the resurrecting from our graves that he has promised to us, our immortality because we are in Christ. As he proclaims that for the rest of the chapter, look at how he ends. Look at how he reacts to this at the end. And we're going to just jump in the middle again. This would be a good chapter to jot down for a family devotion this week. We're going to jump in verse 55. I know it's in the middle, but the rest of the chapter is in the middle, so you have to go in somewhere. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But this is how he reacts to the gospel. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See how he responds to the gospel? You see how he responds to God saving us? You guys see how he responds to God breaking the power of sin and the law and death in his children because of Christ on the cross and Christ risen from the grave? It's by thanking him. So today, as we take bread and we take juice, and with them we remember the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, let us also raise up in our hearts thanksgiving to our Father because he has been good to us. God, we thank you. Together we thank you. We confess that many times we forget to thank you. Many times we replace thankfulness with complaint. Many times we take for granted what you give us and we just want more. But we thank you, God. Thank you for reminding us of how good you are in your word today and also by all the blessings and the care that you've put into our lives. So God, I pray that you would remind us, particularly in those moments this week when our heart drifts away from thankfulness, drifts in the opposite direction of thankfulness, when we're stressed and worried and anxious and complaining and not happy, and that you would remind us in those moments to be thankful, and that we would, and as we thank you, God, that you would transform our hearts because we're seeing your goodness and your greatness, that you always care for us. And now in this moment, God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that you have promised us that as in Christ, we not only have forgiveness, we have the promise of eternal life with you. We thank you for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.